Thank you, Charlie, for that song leading. You usually do a good job. In my readings this past week, I came across a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 that intrigued me, had something special to say to me. And as I reflected upon that passage, I said, I want to share that with my brethren. And so we'll do that tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 through 15. Peter said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. If you caught the verbiage of this reading, you will reflect upon the fact that the word remembrance is used three times. Now that's interesting, to find that word used three times in this text, or any text for that matter. I want us to look at this text for just a moment. He says, first of all, I don't want to seem as though I ignored you, but I want to always put you in remembrance of these things. In just a moment, we'll take a look at these things. Although we're grounded in the truth, it's evident from time to time that we need to be reminded of the truth of God. To remember and reflect upon items of the past, to some people, seems to be redundant and unnecessary. But according to Scripture and according to life itself, we're made aware of the fact that remembrance is indeed essential. The truth here has reference to verse 10. And you'll find Peter discussing in these early verses the things that are essential to growth and abundance in the kingdom of God. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Go back earlier in the chapter, and you will find him saying, but also, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, but if you lack these things, then a certain condition will exist in your life. Here he is talking about stirring them up or arousing them as if they'd been asleep. The fact is that remembrance brings a spiritual awakening to the people involved. And then, of course, the urgency of this matter is seen in the death of man's body, for time becomes a limiting factor. So Peter says, there's coming a time when this tabernacle I will have no longer. And so as long as I'm in it and I'm with you in relationship, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. Now the word reminder or remembrance or any other word similar to that one in this family of words is found 300 times in the Scriptures. Now, Charlie, I know that for a fact because I counted them. I came away from that count believing then that there is something significant about remembering. But then as I began to think a little deeper into this subject, it dawned on me that there must first be instruction, learning, before there can be remembrance. Well, that seems rather logical, doesn't it? Seems rather practical that there must be a learning curve from which we are called to remembrance. Paul admonished Timothy to continue in the things which he had learned. Then, of course, in his letter, first letter to Timothy, he talked about remembering the faith that dwelt first in his mother and grandmother. So we are to engage our memory. Remembrance simply means get your mind working. Reflect on certain things that are important. As we suggested to you a moment ago, there are many references in the Scriptures. Frequently you will find references in the New Testament. Let me share just three or four with you at this point. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Timothy, you're being admonished to cause the brethren to remember words of faith and of good doctrine. Monty, have we done that? We're working on it. You are doing a great job reminding us of these great words of faith and of good doctrine. In John 15 and verse 20, Jesus used the word with respect to his disciples. He said to them, "Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours." Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Remember what I said to you." And then in Jude, verse 17, "But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there are many passages as they reflect upon this activity we call remembrance or remembering. God knows that by remembering the past, we are better prepared for the future. But again, we must have instruction. We must have learning, that we might have a remembrance of the past as it reflects upon our ability to recall and to make application. Now, there are certain holidays and celebrations that serve to remind us of certain events, people, truths, and important happenings. For example, here in our country, we have July 4th. It reflects on our freedom. It reflects upon our struggle and fight for democracy and all of the good things that go with that kind of a government. Memorial Day commemorates the sacrifice of the lives of men and women who served our nation in time of war. I conducted a funeral this past week for a gentleman who was a war hero, received the Purple Medal, was in Okinawa. His friends said he would not talk about the war. Many of them do not and will not. They've sacrificed much to serve our nation in those moments of conflict. Memorial Day is set aside in remembrance of them. And then we have President's Day, honoring those who served our country in political service as President of the United States. It's a possibility that for the first time in the history of our nation, we might have a lady who is president, or who would be president. That would be quite a surprise, I'm sure. If you look at your calendar, you will notice Father's Day and Mother's Day. These are events that bring to remembrance in honor of our parents. And so our lives are surrounded and permeated with acts of remembrance, reminding ourselves of certain happenings, certain people, certain relationships, certain principles of life, certain truths. As we look at the Bible, we see this to be a typical response in the history of the Jewish nation. The children of Israel were admonished to remember God, to remember Jehovah. In Psalms 105, verses 1 through 5, the psalmist said, "O give thanks unto the Lord, and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous work. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore." And then he said, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." Some of us may not have much to remember because we've had little association and relationship with the Father in heaven. We need more. We need to take a look at our lives to see that we are filled up with remembrance. And so the children of Israel were admonished to remember Jehovah in various circumstances and various feast days and special occasions. The Passover, for example, served to remind them of their deliverance from bondage. They were to tell their children about that happening. In Exodus 12 and verse 14, they were admonished, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And I believe that the Orthodox Jew does keep this memorial, at least in a limited sense. And so the Passover became an example of remembrance, remembering. And then in Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, Joshua said unto the people of Israel, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take before you the ark of the Lord, and every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What means these stones?' And then you'll answer them, 'The waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever.'" You see, the children of Israel were going into the land of promise. and possessing the land. They crossed over Jordan from the east bank into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. They piled stones on the west bank of the Jordan. It was a memorial to cause them to reflect and to be reminded of God's entrance into the land of promise, separating and parting the waters of Jordan. And so, in the lives of the children of Israel, there were moments of remembrance. And then as we move to the New Testament, we find Jesus saying in Luke 22, verse 19, "And he took bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so each Lord's Day, we partake of the communion. We partake of the supper Jesus instituted with his disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. And it is an example of remembrance. And as he did so, he gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Well, someone might ask, well, what is so important about these remembrances? What's so significant about remembering? Why don't we just forget about the past and move, just keep moving on? Wouldn't be smart to do that, would it? Think of all the things we'd have to give up. All the things that have been invented. All the changes and the advancements and the improvements of life on earth. Think about all the information we'd have to throw out. Well, what are the effects of remembrance? What kind of blessings do these remembrances bring to our lives? How important are they? I believe that there are, first of all, four natural responses to look at. I believe, first of all, that as far as Christianity is concerned, these remembrances will bring about repentance. It makes one aware of his commitments. It reminds us of our obligations. And it provides us with an opportunity to renew our confessions. Let's see if this is not so. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son apparently was raised in an influential family by a good father and mother. But this youngster had a spark of rebellion in his life. And he was on the totem pole of demand. He was at the top rung. And he said, "Father, I want my inheritance early. I want it now." No doubt his father had tried to reason with him. The scriptures don't give us any details along those lines, but I'm sure that that occurred. But nevertheless, he was not willing to listen to his father. And his father gave him his inheritance early, and he left home. And as is typical in most cases, he squandered his inheritance, lost his funds, his wealth was depleted alarmingly, his friends took advantage of him, and he found himself a pauper. So badly was his economic status that he found himself working for a pig farmer and eating with the pigs. But the Bible mentions something rather unusual. In the context of that story, the Bible said this young man came to himself. I'm sure that he came to himself because he remembered something. He remembered who he was and from whence he came. He remembered his childhood. He remembered instruction. He remembered learning something. His mind caused him to reflect upon who and what he was. And consequently, he made his journey back home and asked for forgiveness, asked for reinstatement into the family, and of course, his father, being the kind of man he was, welcomed him, accepted him. Remembrance brought happiness and satisfaction and survival and salvation to this young man. Don't tell me that it's not good to remember the past. It's foolish not to. At the golf tournament yesterday morning, I had the blessing of reminiscing with one of my old classmates, a young man who graduated with me in 1952. That sounds awful. Sammy Allen. And we talked about our high school years and did some remembering. It was welcomed, healthy, good, encouraging, strengthening, and many other adjectives I could use to describe our remembering, our remembrances. And so this young man in Luke chapter 15 remembered, and it brought him salvation. Another example in Revelation chapter 2. As John prepares to record these letters to the seven churches of Asia, the first one is, of course, to the church at Ephesus. We're told in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, that the angel said, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." Remember. From where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. What a challenge. The angel of the church of Ephesus is saying to the brethren, you need to reflect on the past. You need to be reminded of where you once were in relationship to where you are now. And you need to repent and do the first works. Example, Romans chapter 6. As you open your Bible to Romans chapter 6, you find the Apostle Paul struggling in an effort to explain the relationship between grace and sin. There are some folks that just couldn't understand grace, having come out from under the law of Moses. "What shall we say then?" Paul said. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know, and I like to take that word know and insert the word remember, or do you not remember that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Now Paul is beginning to say here, we can understand the relationship between grace and sin if we'll just remember our baptism. That's interesting. He goes on and he says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And then he talks about the old man giving way to the new man. Here, remembering gives us understanding. It leads us to develop an appreciation for grace in relationship to our baptism. I'm sure that you many times have reflected upon your baptism, have called to remembrance the specific details of that day, though it be a morning or a noontime or an evening time. Another example, Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 32 through 37, or you may want to read right on through to the end of the chapter. It's a powerful chapter. It deals with the problem of suffering and troubles. Remembering how we dealt with suffering and troubles early on will help us face them again and again. Now let's see if that's not what he's saying. Let's begin our reading with verse 32. But recall, the New King James says, the Old King James says, but remember the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Talking about their salvation and how the world responded to it. Because in verse 33 he says, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now all of that is predicated and based upon the fact that they should remember how they dealt with suffering and how they struggled with troubles early on. Once again, remembering, remembrance brings us solutions, satisfaction, answering the question, how can we deal and how can we handle suffering? And then one more as we bring our lesson to a close. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul told Timothy, neglect not the gift which is in you. He said, be reminded for your gift and your talent and develop it for His service. specifically he said, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by putting on of my hands." Timothy, remember your gift. I believe that this congregation, Brother Bird, has a great number of people with great gifts. And some of them are using those gifts to an advantage. But some of us are not. God's not always going to allow us to keep these gifts and these talents which He has shared with us. He'll take them from us if we don't use them. We cannot afford to be like the one talent man who took his talent and hid it in the ground for fear of losing it. He really needed to put it to work. He needed to take advantage of it and stir it up and use it for the Master's cause and for the good of humanity and the service of Jesus Christ. And so, I have not even come close to exhausting the meaningfulness of our text tonight. But I share a bit of it with you, feeling that it is awesome in its application. And in conclusion, allow me to read it once more. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." What a powerful reflection. What a thought-provoking admonition. It's there for us to receive or reject, to keep and develop or neglect and lose. Whatever. Remembrance. Let's have good reminders. Let's have good reflection of the past as we push on to the future. Because after all, we should engage our memory, realizing that there's something significant about remembering, as it brings to our lives a spiritual awakening in the Master's cause. If we can help you and assist you in any way spiritually, we want to do that this evening, right now, as we stand and as we sing.